You know, over the last several years, we've learned a number of things. One of the things is that we love children here. And what a blessing it is when we have new babies and they come all the time here. We're always delighted when we add those new little ones to our assembly. And, you know, one thing that's happened several times the last few years is we've had families that have adopted new babies. And today we have another one, though they are not in here. They're in the nursery right now. But we are so proud of Shane and Jennifer Street and their family and their new little one, L. Did I say it right? L. It's E-L-L-E, but it's pronounced L. And we're delighted for them. They had their adoption ceremony this past week. We're so very proud of them and thankful for them. Let's take a minute right now and just pray for our kids. Father, we have so many little ones here. Father, bless their parents, those that love them and care for them. Bless those who give of their time and energy here to teach them. Father, may this always be a place where we love children and where children grace us and we're graced by their presence and where we then in turn teach them about your marvelous grace and get to see them grow up loving you. And Father, help us to emulate that kind of love. Father, we're thankful for Shane and Jennifer and for their beautiful family and for others here who have adopted the last few years and how they made this place even more special by doing that. And Father, we pray that you bless us in the days ahead as we continue to grow and to teach children about you and about your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So the next few months, I'm going to be kind of revisiting some old lessons, and we'll also be talking about some new lessons, some things I want to say to you before I go. And I've really charted out the rest of the time that I'm here, except for a couple of lessons, and I know where I'm going to be going. Today's lesson is about one sentence, one sentence. And I know about 30% of you, when you see that line on the screen, you think immediately, well, just tell us that sentence and sit down. But it's going to take a while for me to get to that sentence. So I ask you to bear with me as we work toward a very important and I believe life-changing sentence. We are about Jesus Christ here, about doing his will. And the last words that Jesus left this earth with was that we were to go into all the world and to teach the gospel, that we were to go and to make disciples of all nations, that we had this mission. We call it the Great Commission. But I don't like that word commission. I really like the word mission. We have a mission. There are people in this world that are lost. May I be more specific? There are people in this community that are lost. May I be even more specific? There are people on your street who are lost. And one more time, there are probably people in your family who are lost. And if we really believe what we claim to believe in this place, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he rose from the dead, then our mission becomes, more than any other mission we have, that everybody will believe that and know him and love him. That is the mission that we have in front of us. And I oftentimes think about how simple God made everything. You know, it's such a simple message that we preach, isn't it? I mean, it could not be much more simple. Man sinned, God made man, put him in a perfect environment, everything was great and wonderful, but man sinned and it separated him from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear you. Sin separates us from God. Adam and Eve sinned, but I want to tell you, had Adam and Eve not sinned, I would have. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, you would have sinned. And it is not Adam and Eve's sins that separate you from God. It is your sin that separates you from God. In fact, the book of Romans says that all have sinned. Everybody in this room, the best person you know in this building, the best person you know in your life, your grandmom, your granddad, the best person you ever met in your life, they have sinned. And Jesus said, if we do not believe that he is the Son of God, that we will die in our sins. Simple. God provided a Savior, a way back to him. God so loved that he couldn't stand the thought that his creation be separated from him. So he sent his Son so that everybody could be saved. And Paul kind of narrowed it all down to one simple statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and is raised again the third day in accordance with the Scripture. He said, if that is the gospel that you receive, that is the gospel that I preach, and that is the gospel by which you'll be saved. That is the message that we rest upon. A simple gospel. Now please hear me carefully. Simple does not mean simplistic. I don't want any of us to get that idea in our mind, that just because something is simple that means that it's simplistic. But the fact is, God made it as simple as he can make it. It takes man to kind of confuse it, doesn't it? Was baptism really important? Well, it's an emulation of the very gospel of 1 Corinthians 15. That's what Paul says in Romans 6. Is it really significant? How do you baptize somebody? The very word itself means to immerse. That's all it means. That's all it's ever mean. That's what it meant in the first century when they did it. That's what it means today. It takes man to mess this up. The very first day the gospel is preached. What shall we do about our sins? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. How simple is that? It doesn't take volumes of books to understand that. It doesn't take years to understand it. It is simple. Your grandkids at age 6 or 7, your children at age 5 or 6, are already beginning to understand how simple the gospel is. And Jesus said, I will build my church. While on earth, he made a simple promise. I'm going to build a church. The church is simple, isn't it? Again, I want to emphasize, it took years for man to come along and mess it all up with our theologies and our ideologies and our doctrines and our beliefs. God made it simple. I mean, a group of people who love Jesus, who want to go to heaven, who have committed to obeying him, who encourage each other in that effort, who come together and worship him, who commune and remember what he did for us, who teach and who reach others with that simple message. You know, I really think you ought to do this in church. Well, does the Bible say you should? No, it doesn't, so you shouldn't do that. I really think this is important. My grandparents did it this way, or this guy that was a great leader did it that way. Anytime you get into the woods that way, anytime you get into the weeds that way, you're in trouble. The church is designed to be simple. It's man that comes along and messes this thing up with his creeds and his doctrine and his binding and his loosing. And I'll tell you, we're tempted to do it too, aren't we? We don't want to just point the finger at other people. But I don't like this, or I don't like that. Well, can you show it in the Scriptures where it's right or wrong? If you can't, don't mess up what God himself designed to be unbelievably simple. Jesus didn't say, I'll build my college. Jesus didn't say, I'll build my hospital. Jesus didn't say, I'll build my relief agency. Jesus said, I will build my church, because he knew that's what we needed. He knew we needed people who would encourage us and help us in this effort to go to heaven. And I have one message for you today. Listen carefully. You're doing well. You're doing well. Not perfect. This is not a perfect place for perfect people. But you, Spring Meadows Church of Christ, you are doing well. You know, I like marketing. I like giveaways. I like events. I like when we do something big like Trunk or Treat come up in a few weeks, and we'll have hundreds, hopefully thousands of people that will come onto this campus and see a little bit of who we are, get a little taste of Spring Meadows. I love that sort of thing. But the simple truth is, the only real thing that works is you loving the church enough to tell somebody else about it. We want to do better. But I want to commend you. Most of you are here today because somebody in this room invited you to be here. But in a few months, this church is going to have a crazy great opportunity. A window of opportunity is going to open up for you. And I want to talk to you today about that tremendous window of opportunity. You're going to get a new preacher. And here's what I want to tell you about that. When a church like this one gets a new preacher, it almost automatically will have a 5% jump in attendance. Now, when I talk about numbers, I want you to hear this carefully. This is not about numbers. It's about souls. So if we have about a 5% jump in attendance, that means there will be more people who will hear the gospel. That means there will be more people who will share the gospel. That means there will be more people who will serve the Lord in this place. I don't know who your new preacher is going to be. I know he will not be nearly as handsome as I am. A little worried about Brother Sid. His vision is getting bad. But I want to tell you, it's not about him. It's about him. Some of you will absolutely love this guy. I don't know who he is, but some of you will love him. Some of you hate him. And in a few weeks, I'm going to talk to you more about that. It's on down the road a ways. But I do want you to know this. Don't do what you do or don't do what you don't do because of the little him. Influence people because of the real him, the Lord of heaven. And you'll get an opportunity that people in most churches don't get. You'll get an opportunity in places that most people don't get. You know, have you ever noticed that in the South, we say things that we don't mean? You ever notice that? Let me give you a few. Hey, y'all, come see us. Steve, you don't mean that, do you? We don't really want you to come see us. I mean, I show up at your house tonight at 6 o'clock, you wonder, what in the world is this guy doing here? Right? Or we say this, you know, come have supper with us sometime. I'm coming to your house tonight at 5 o'clock. I expect supper, and I'll be here at 5. I'll come after, okay? You don't really mean that, do you? Let's get together soon. Yeah. Find that on the calendar, soon. When does that exist? Or this one, you know, let's get the kids together sometime. We say stuff all the time in the South that we don't mean at all. Let me give you an illustration of this. In fact, let me explain a little bit more. In order to do this, I'm going to have to do something a little unusual today. I need a couple of volunteers for this to happen. Chris, thank you for volunteering. You did volunteer, didn't you? No? Okay. Where's Dustin? Where's Dustin? Dustin, I know you'd like to talk about volunteers today. Don't ag me on. Stand up, if you will, okay? So, I want to tell you about a place. It's in Huntsville, Alabama. It's called Big Springs Cafe. You ever been there before? All right. Some of you have been there before, right? Chester's a good place, isn't it? Chester wants to go again. Of all the people I've taken here, he's the only one who's ever said he wants to go again. It is a marvelous place. I mean, it's kind of a little hole in the wall. For years, it was in a trailer, and right beside it was a bait and tackle shop. I mean, it had an old door on it. The door was broken. It had one table in it, a counter with stools at it. But, I mean, this is the best burger you've ever eaten in your life. They're square, like crystal, but they have real meat on them, okay? I mean, you'll never eat a burger this good. You can't get a cheeseburger there. You only get hamburgers. Now, you can order a hamburger with cheese, but don't order a cheeseburger. You'll regret it. You'll want to start with about four. They are marvelous burgers. I mean, you go in there, there's a line when you go in. I mean, there's a line waiting outside. I don't know what they cook them in. The grease there must be very special. I don't know. But it's marvelous. It's in the state of Alabama. It's in Huntsville, but it's still a good place, okay? So, how would you like to go with me? That wasn't very convincing, was it? You'd love it. That's better. Thank you. Have a seat for a minute. Now, in order for this to work well, I need another volunteer. Chester, thank you for volunteering. Chester, if you will, please stand up for a minute. Chester is a place in Jackson, Tennessee. It's called Brooksy's Barn. One of the best places I've ever eaten in my life. It's a buffet. It's not cheap. They have every kind of meat you can imagine. They have ribs, they have dry ribs and wet ribs. They have barbecue. They have fish, chicken. They have the best chicken, fried chicken I've ever eaten in my life. They have a salad bar. I'm told they have a salad bar. I've never actually seen it. But they have a salad bar. They have hush puppies. They take the hush puppies and they put them in sugar, confectionery sugar, roll them around a bit, then they put pineapples outside them. Oh, man, they're good. They have sweet tea, good southern sweet tea. You've heard me talk about that before. You know what good southern sweet tea is. It's sweet tea that if you're sitting there and actually hit the glass and it starts falling over, you can pick it up before any spills out. It's got that much sugar in it, okay? Good southern sweet tea. I go the first Monday in February. They open at 5 p.m. I get there at 4:30 because I want to be there when they open. First Monday in February. How would you like to go with me? All right. Thank you very much. Now, I didn't say I was going to pay for you. I just said to go. Okay. So, all right. Have a seat. What I've found is that we're really good. Well, let's get back to that in a minute. Let me tell you about Monday John Acapacapan. Jerry knows Monday. He may be the only person in here knows Monday. Kathy might, but Monday and I were in college together. Went to Freed Hardeman together. Monday's from Nigeria. Love Monday. We got to be good friends while I was there. One day we decided we were going to go to Jackson, Tennessee to get some supper and then come back. So we stopped at the little gas station, little Q-Mart there on the corner, and we went inside. This was back when I was in college. That means it was before the day where you could swipe a card or anything. So we go inside to pay for the gas, to get a soft drink, to get a Coke while we're in there. We get the soft drink, and we pay for the gas, and we're leaving, and things are going really well, and the girl behind the counter says, y'all come back now. We go out to the car, and we get to the car, I start pumping the gas. And Monday's not with me. He's still inside. I thought he'd come out, but I didn't realize he stayed inside. So I pump the gas. He still hadn't come back outside, so I go back inside, I put the hose back up, I go back inside, and he's talking to the girl behind the counter. I think, well, he's very nice. Monday's always been a nice guy. And we visit for a while longer, and then it's time to go. And I say, Monday, we need to go. And he says, okay. And so we start heading the car, and the girl behind the counter says, y'all come back now. I get to the car, I unlock the car, I put the key in, and Monday's not with me. And I thought, Monday likes this girl. She was cute. I mean, he's going to ask her out on a date. So that's what I figured it out. Well, I wait a couple minutes. He doesn't come back out. I go inside. We visit a while longer. I said, Monday, if we're going to get back in time for curfew, we need to go on. He said, okay. And so we start walking out. You're ahead of me, aren't you? Girl behind the counter says, y'all come back. Monday goes back in. So we say things in the South all the time that we don't mean, don't we? I mean, it's regular in our lives. We say things, and we don't mean them all. Now watch this. We are good. No, I'll say it better. We are great at one thing. So, Dustin, this is your moment to shine, okay? This is your moment in time, okay? You ready? Stand up again. Now, there's only one answer here. You get it right, it's good. You get it wrong, you'll be like Tennessee and end up with a losing record. Couldn't help myself, I'm sorry. No, I'm not right. When are we going to Big Springs? Wrong answer. They're not open on Sunday. Oh, you said it. Wait, what did you say? I didn't tell you, right? Thank you. You did well. Sit down. Chester, stand up. You get one chance at this. When are we going to Brooksy's? What time? Very good. You almost got it right. Thank you very much. What I found out is that we are really good at information. And we love to get information. We love to inform. We inform. We love to tell people about what we believe, about our beliefs. I can give you a track on almost any subject that you can come up with. We love to answer people's questions about the Bible and about the church. We love to talk about the church, love to talk about our singing, about our children here, about our programs here, about the things we're a part of. We love to do those things. We are really good at information, but all that is information. But I want you to know, here is that sentence. It is a long way from information to invitation. For good information. Hey, I'd like for you to come to church with me sometime. Find some time on the calendar. Hey, would you come to church with me? Yeah. I remember Hallen, Alabama. I did what I thought a preacher should do. I moved to town and I went to visit every town, every business owner in that small town, every business. Went in, told them who I was, welcome. Told them I was in town, told them I was preaching at the Hamilton Church of Christ. It was great and wonderful. Walked in the Western Auto, and there was Ron. Ron owned the Western Auto. We visited for a while. I told him what I was doing, where I was from, all sorts of things. We talked for a while. Before I left, I said, "Hey, Ron, I'd like for you to come to church with us sometime." You know what he said? "I will." Awesome. Gold star in my crown. I walk out to my car. Sunday rolled around. Ron wasn't there. What happened to Ron? Why isn't Ron here? I waited an appropriate amount of time, 2 or 3 weeks, went back into Western Auto again, invited Ron again. "Hey, Ron, love for you to come to church with us sometime." "I will." Ron didn't come. And it dawned on me. I really never invited him. I gave him great information, but I didn't invite him at all. Didn't invite him. Wanted to invite him. So we had a meeting. Billy Smith was preaching. I called Ron up. I said, "Hey, Ron, got a gospel meeting going this week. Billy Smith, a good friend of mine, is preaching it. You'll love Billy. He's a wonderful guy. He preaches the Word of God. Melanie, I'd like to come pick you and Geneva up on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, take you to supper, and then go to the meeting at 7. How's it sound?" You know what he said? "How dare you call me at my..." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Of course we'll come." We took them to supper, they came. Wednesday night, they came back. The next Sunday, Ron and Geneva were back again. Went on for several weeks. They kept coming back. It wasn't long after that I announced I was leaving Hamilton to move to Nashville. I made that announcement. I moved to Nashville. About 2 or 3 months after that, I got a phone call one Sunday evening. It was from my friend, Lenny. Lenny said, "Dale, I just want you to know that Ron and Geneva were baptized tonight." Invitation. Can I tell you something about the preacher we're going to hire? He doesn't know your friends. He doesn't know your family. He doesn't know the people you work with. Let's be honest about it. For the most part, I don't either. I don't know the folks you work with. I don't know the people who live on your street. Just don't know them. It's not that I don't want to know them. I just don't know them. But you do. And I want to ask you today, when is the last time you invited someone to church? Because the numbers are in. You know what those numbers represent there on the screen? Those are the percentages of people that when you ask them why they came to church, that go to church, ask them why they came to church, and there's no doubt about this one that said it was because of the invitation of a family member or a friend. What an opportunity you have. And the challenge I have for you these next several months, and especially whenever this new guy gets here, invite. Don't inform. Hey, we got a new preacher at church. That's fine. That's just information. I'd like for you to come next Sunday after the service. I'll take you to lunch. Give out information. Information is great. I will not deride or speak derogatory in any way of information. Information is great. But invite someone. That's my one point today. You have friends and neighbors who are not Christians and you want them to go to heaven and you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to get to Him is through the Son of God, and you know the Son of God and you know your friend and you need to invite them. Go from the general to the specific. And chances are that whoever you ask will be glad you did. Remember that study we looked at a few weeks ago? Chances are most people who are not members of a church don't get upset. In fact, would like to have an invitation. And maybe, just maybe, and how I wish this for everyone, maybe, just maybe, someday you'll be sitting here and during one of our invitation songs or after the service, you'll have that overwhelming, off the chart, unable to hold back the tears experience of seeing someone you invited brought to the Lord. And maybe you'll hear them say, and you didn't do it for this reason, but maybe you'll get to hear them say, I want to thank my boss, I want to thank my neighbor, I want to thank my tennis partner, I want to thank my friend from school. And then they'll call your name. Because if it wasn't for them, I would never have known the Lord. This isn't about big. Big is relative. I don't know what big is. It's a big church. Go to Korea. We're a little bitty church. It's a huge church. Go to Wisconsin. Yes, we are. Stephen, we're a big church, aren't we? But no, we're not. It's not about numbers. This is about capturing a moment. You know, there are moments in people's lives, the death of a loved one, the birth of a child, a move, when they will be more open to the gospel than other times. This is about an opportunity, about redeeming this opportunity for the one who redeemed you. Invite.